In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Of course, brethren, this is the Saturday before the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. So before talking about the epistle, let's talk a little bit about the Vespers that we just heard. And the Vespers is very exact in how we should look at the story about the publican and the Pharisee. There's other things that you could look at as well. It's a very deep story, even though it's very few words, very short. But the Vespers makes it very clear. We should look at the pride of the Pharisee, the humility of the publican. We should look at the repentance of the publican and the self-condemnation of the publican, and the fact that such self-condemnation was absent in the Pharisee, and it was substituted for that self-condemnation was pride and boasting. And also the power of tears and the power of repentance in helping a person. And it's right there in the services. Brethren, let us not pray as the Pharisee, for he who exalts himself shall be humbled. Let us humble ourselves before God, and with fasting cry aloud as the publican, God be merciful to us sinners. Then it says, a Pharisee overcome with vain glory, and a publican bowed down in repentance came to thee, O the only Master. The one boasted and was deprived of blessings, while the other kept silent and was counted worthy of gifts. What could be more clear? We should approach the Lord with repentance and with self-condemnation, and the Lord will help us if we approach him in such way. Also, the understanding in the church of tears is brought forth. Almighty Lord, I know how great is the power of tears, for they led up Hezekiah from the gates of death. They delivered the sinful woman from the transgression of many years. They justified the publican above the Pharisee. And with them I also pray, have mercy on me. That's just from the first three hymns sung in Vespers from the Triodion for this day. It's really everything we need to know about the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. If we applied it, we'd be saints. The epistle for tomorrow is from 2 Timothy 3:10 through 15. And we'll just gloss over it because there's not a lot of time. But you should read this epistle, and you should read with expectation, and you should expect the Lord to teach you something while you're reading it. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, he says to Timothy. And then he describes some things that happened to him in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. Every pastor should tremble when these words are read. Every parent should tremble when these words are read. Because we are to be examples to our children, pastors to their flocks, employers to their employees, etc., etc. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, or love, patience. How many of us can say that and not be afraid, thinking that our example has not been one of long-suffering and of love and of patience and of faith? How many of us can say these words and not tremble? Then Paul goes on in speaking to Timothy, something that applies very much to our time. It really, I think, applies to every time. Perhaps everyone in every epoch has thought that their time was the worst in terms of morals. I think things are very bad now, though. And what's very bad, especially, is immoral things, immoral ways of life are being labeled as morally correct. And not only morally correct, but to stand up for morality is considered to be something that is abnormal and even psychologically harmful. So St. Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Doesn't that sound like our age?
I just read something. It was really terrible. A boy was a high school boy, wrote a piece, and a high school girl wrote the opposite as a exercise in their journalism class for a particular debate. And the debate was, should there be homosexuals allowed to adopt children? His was the con side, they should not be allowed to adopt. Hers was the pro side. And his was not a particularly well-written piece. He's a high school student. But he posited that the scriptures say that homosexuality is sinful. That's all he said. And he repeated himself a little bit, but that was his basic premise. And the girl basically said, based on practical concerns, there's so many people that need to be adopted, and no matter how we feel about homosexuality, we should adopt. Okay, fine. She had an opinion, he had an opinion. Life should go on. Well, a particular person in that school district, who must have had a student in that school, was incensed because he's a homosexual living with his partner, raising children that are adopted. And he wants the newspaper editor to be fired. He wants the boy to be suspended. He has gotten a lot of people to write letters saying that it's bullying for this boy to state his opinion, which, last I checked, is something that our country stands on, that we can have opinions and not be ostracized for them, and certainly not be bullied because of them. And yet, there are people who will say that because this boy has an opinion that is contrary to people who are living that life, that is constitutes bullying. It's happening before our very eyes. And St. Paul describes that kind of thing. Things getting worse and worse. So be ready for it. Don't be afraid to state the truth about things. You don't have to necessarily walk into your office and start telling everybody everything from the gospel. Then you're a pest. But do not be afraid to speak the truth when someone asks you or confronts you. You cannot be afraid. If it gets to the point where you have to give an answer, you cannot, as a Christian, say something that is not true. And then St. Paul goes on to say to Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And the point is here, how many of us can say this about ourselves, that as from a child we have known the scriptures? Perhaps we came to the church later in life. Perhaps we came to illumination about holy things later in life. But if we're supposedly illumined now, how many of us can say that we read the scriptures and truly let them descend into our souls and permeate our being? St. Timothy was like that. St. Paul was like that. The scriptures are able to make us wise. Certainly they're not a person, but the personhood of God flows through them, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to us through them. The Son speaks to us and the Father. And so, brothers and sisters, you must read the scriptures often. You must read them with attention. You must not just hear them in church. Read them. Many times I want to speak about something else, but I find myself drawn always to tell you about the scriptures, because they have the words of life in them. So, brothers and sisters, let us make this statement that St. Paul made about his child Timothy, his spiritual son, true about ourselves, that we will have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. May God bless you and help you in all things. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.